listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the True Word of God. I am Apostle Vernon Whitaker with Pastor Betty Whitaker of First Church Bible Fellowship Ministries in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We want to welcome you to our show. Good morning, good morning, good morning. We will say our motto as we say in First Church Fivefold Fellowship. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what my enemy throws at me today, guess what? He will not steal my joy. And we can be reached at 772-777-4431 at First Church Fivefold Fellowship. If you want to give us a call, you can go to our website, and our website is church5.com. And our Sunday morning service start at 10:30 for our Sunday school. Our morning service start at 11:30. Our Bible study start at 7:30 on Wednesday night. And you can hear us on Sunday morning service at blogtalkradio.com/Apostle Whitaker. And you can reach us today at the radio station at 772-221-1100. If you're out of town, out of state, you can reach us at 1-888-221-8990. If you need prayer, let us pray for you today, help you going through what you're going through. And if you'd like to send us the donation to keep us the program on the air, you can send a donation at 1689 Biltmore Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34984. And that's just the same location as the church. If you want to come and visit us, that is our address. And also, you can send us an email if you want prayer requests. You can send your email at firstchurch12@gmail.com. And we would like to thank Robert Joseph of Red Med Pharmacy for being an underwriter of this program, the True Word of God, the True Word of God. And they are located at 10163 U.S. Highway 1 in Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34952. And you can reach them at 772-333-2740 for all your medical needs. And we just want to thank all our friends for listeners. And Pastor Bennett, how you doing this morning, Pastor Bennett? Little Wings Ministry, a good friend of mine. And Apostle Carwell, another good friend of mine, that life-changing minister. We want to thank those that we can fellowship with and partner up with together and try to do the work of the Lord. That's one thing that we truly believe in, and is that is working for the Lord. And that we are connecting together, we are working together, we're trying to build up and do what God has called us to do in this kingdom of God. And what an honor it is just to work with someone that you really love. And you know that two or three people are gathering in the name of Jesus. He said he will be in the mix, and we will do what Lord has called us. It's all about building up the kingdom of God. And last week we started talking about living a righteous life. And we got to learn how to live a righteous and a holy life, because it's something that God required. That's one of God's standards that he put up before us, that we live a righteous and holy life. And we live a way that we bring no shame unto the body of Christ. We live such a way that everybody will look at our lives, and maybe somebody want to pattern their life after your life. But they can't do that if you are not living right. It's not right for the pastors or the churches and to stand up in the congregation and preach the word of God and try to get them to live right, but yet they're living another way. It's not right. I don't care what nobody say. If you in this gospel for anything else but the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're in the wrong field. I truly believe that living right, and the reason why I live right, because I got tired of doing the wrong things. I know that somebody may be in the same boat, may be feeling the same way. I'm tired of doing hurting folks, doing something that is not right, but you want to make a change in your life. And when we begin to live right for God, there is a change. And we used Isaiah last week in 6:1. 6 through 7 as a pattern so that we can live a righteous life. And then it says that flew one of the serpent unto me, having live coals in his hand, which he had took with tongue from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this have touched thy lips. Thy iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. And we want to thank God for God being such a gracious God and God being such a righteous God and a forgiving God and a loving God, that he's willing to forgive us of our sin. I'm trying to help somebody today. All you got to do is fall down on your knees and ask God to forgive you for what you have done. That's all you need to do. And God, because the God that I know and the God that I serve, guess what? He is a true and living God. He will forgive your sin. And matter of fact, he said he will take your sin and throw it in the sea of forgiveness and forget all about your sin. But it is us who want to hold on to the sin. But we want to live right. And it's a good thing that you live right. But when you live right, that means that you can treat each other right. That means that I can love my neighbor regardless of what color skin or how tall or how short they are, what they look like, brown eyes, black eyes, whatever. I can treat everybody as my sister and brother. And this is what we need to understand in this society, in the body of Christ. I don't care what kind of church you go to or what denomination you're up under or what name you got on the church, but you got to know one thing. When we get to heaven, we all going to be sisters and brothers. So we need to start practicing right now how to be sisters and brothers here. So if we can't practice there, how are we going to get up there and practice and say, you my brother and you my sister? And that's why I thank God that he changed my life. Now I can embrace anybody that is a child of God, regardless a race, nationality. And I truly believe, I don't care what church I go into, I'm always home in my Father's house. I don't have to be made welcome, but I'm home. But living right, this is what we're talking about today. Living right, we're going to learn how to live right and be holy. And the reason why we are holy, because God said, I am holy. If God is holy, that means that we must be holy. So we got to be able to learn how to live and right mean be right upstanding in the community in the eyes of God.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want to add here,
go ahead,
Apostle,
Pastor.
2 Corinthians 4th chapter, beginning at the first verse, he said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty.
Yes.
Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So this is telling us right here that you cannot just walk in the ministry any kind
of
way.
Come on, now, no, any kind of way.
You know, you can't be dishonest. You can't be using craftiness, false, deceitful,
yes,
deceitfulness, you know, when you're ministering to people.
Yes.
Because God is going to judge you harshly.
Come on, say it again.
For this.
Mm.
We have to do things in love, and our heart have to be pure, and our heart have to be right.
Yes.
And this reminds me as of our inner man and our outer man, and how we have to deny this flesh. And
yes,
if you read just a little bit further on down, let's go over to verse 16 in the same chapter. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So if our inward man is being renewed, that means the inward man, God is in the heart.
Yes.
So the flesh, we have to deny our fleshly desires in order to live a clean, wholesome, and righteous life, because we are decaying every day. Our natural man, but our spirit man is being renewed through Christ.
Yes, each and every day. So in this Isaiah 6, chapter 6, 6 through 7, And Pastor, I'm hearing what you're saying, but we're going to give you the solution until how you can be able to find forgiveness in God. And he give us that answer in Isaiah. Because now when God, when we accept God's gracious offer of forgiveness, and that is the solution that we need. So now, I hear what you're saying about the inner man and the outer man. So now what we're in? You're in a tug of war. You're in a spiritual warfare because your flesh don't want to rebel against God and don't want to serve God, but your inner man want to serve God. So now you got to find a solution on how you're going to live holy and how you're going to live right.
Amen.
And when you begin to receive the gracious offer that God has given you on forgiveness, and guess what? That would give you the edge, and that would give you the power to overcome your flesh. And this is how you live right and holy. This is what we have to do. We have to be able to take the outer man and subdue the outer man so that our inner man can raise up, so that we can be, come up higher in the standards of God has given us. So that is the solution, is that you must be able to fall on your knees and be wholly sorry for what you said. Not just saying some words just to think that God going to be pleased with that, but when said from the heart.
Amen, amen.
Mean it from the heart, because we know that God knows everybody's heart. So he knows what you're going to say, but yet we need to say it so that we can express ourselves to the Lord. So this is the third step that we need in how to live righteous and holy, by being found clean. We got to learn something, got to cleanse us from the inside out.
Amen.
We need something working on the inside. We need to be able to help our spirit man grow and mature so that we can overcome our flesh. Because we never overcome our flesh, we will never live righteous. And that's why a lot of saints is not living right, because of their flesh man have them doing what they don't supposed to do. So until we be able to overcome, come on somebody, that desire that was keeping us from living righteous and holy, we'll never live right. I don't care how you preach, I don't care how you say, I don't care how you speak in tongues, but you still got to live right before God. Until we get self out of the way and realize it's not about you anyway, but it's about how you're going to live right and be holy from God. We're speaking to somebody right now. Somebody may be high-minded. Somebody may be jealous. Or somebody may be think they're more than what they are. But you got to be able to humble yourself in order to live right with God. And a humble experience will make you get closer and closer to God. Because God loves he people to be humble.
Amen.
Overcome those things. My God, living right. I thank God that the light will shine in my eyes and I'm able to see. And this is the program that we bring, the true word of God. Somebody got to tell somebody the truth so that you're able, I said that you're able to overcome those desires. But you can't do it by yourself. That's why you have to ask the Spirit of God to come into your life and help you to overcome and overpower those desires and overpower those temptations that's in your life so that you can live righteous and holy. So,
and not only that, Apostle.
Yes.
You know, the Word of God says, same chapter, 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 4, he says, in whom the God of this world mm-hmm. has blinded the minds of them which believe not, least the light of the glorious gospel of Christ,
yes.
who is the image of God, yes. should shine yes. to them.
Yes.
So in other words, he's talking about Satan, which is the God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. So we have to learn how to recognize the enemy and be able to say no. I see you, but my thing is, how can I recognize who Satan is if I don't know Christ? If I don't know the Word of God? The Word of God has to come from within in order for me to fight, to see who Satan really is. So once I have Christ who shines in my life, then I'll be able to see. But you have to read the Word of God. You have to pray. You have to commune. You have to get into Christ to know who Christ is in order for him to deliver us from a sinful life. Being righteous means being holy. See, Satan wants us. He's warring for us. And God is warring for us. So who are you going to serve? You can't serve two masters. You can't continue to straddle the fence. You got to serve somebody. You got to believe in something. You got to fight for something that is right. Satan is in our mindset. He attacks us in our mind. He wants us to believe that God is not there for us.
Come on now.
We're praying for things. We're asking God for things. But because God doesn't give us what we want when we want it, the time that we say we should have it, it doesn't mean that God doesn't hear. God is just saying, you know, hey, I want to teach you some patience.
Yes.
Got I it. Want you to learn how to humble yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You may not be ready for what God is going to bless you, because he knows that while you're praying, yes, you're praying and asking for what you want, but as soon as he give it to you, he knows your heart already.
Yes,
he knows that you're not going to be committed to him.
Yes,
so what God is trying to teach us how to do is to be patient, and not only be patient, but be committed.
Committed. And I'm glad you said that on that commitment, because a lot of us, we're missing out on being committed to God. We committed to everything else, but we're not committed to God. And I just want to go back into Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 8 through 12. And it says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then said I, here I am, send me. And he said, go tell the peoples, hear you indeed, but understand not. See you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of the people fat. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert it, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the city be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord has removed men far away, and there'll be a great forsaken in the midst of the land. So now, this is part of what I like. And I like what you said. We got to be committed unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to be committed to building up the kingdom of God. We got to be committed to live righteous and holy. But if you hear what Isaiah said, is like, he heard the commission of God. He heard the purpose of God. He said, send me. And God asked the question, who can we send? I know right now he's speaking to somebody. Who can I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah stepped up to the challenge. He stepped up to the commission. God, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go on the front line. I'm ready to do battle. Lord, I'm ready to build up the kingdom of God. It ain't about me, Lord, but I understand the truth had been shown. And God, I need to go right now. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go. He stood up. And that's what commitment means, by standing up and ready to go and ready to do battle for the Lord. Building up the kingdom of God, going out into the hedges and the highways, going into the places where nobody else would go, and going and begin to bring the word to those that don't want to hear the word, but yet, and still, you're still out there in the midst of the war, in the midst of the battle, and you're winning lost souls, and you're bringing folks into Christ. It's a never-ending job of building up the kingdom of God. We always got to build and build and build,
amen.
But somebody got to go. And Jesus said that harvest is plentiful, but the labels are few. We need some good labels to go into the harvest field. And this is what Isaiah said. I'm going to the harvest field, and we're going to begin to harvest, and we're going to bring the souls in. We got to go out there and compel them to come into the house of God. Somebody need to be compelled. Somebody need to come into the house of the Lord right now and give them. Oh, my God. If we understand living righteous life. But when God sent us somewhere, guess what? The provision is already made. God is not going to put you nowhere in no danger, but all he want to know, who is willing to go? Are you really ready to go? Are you willing to go? Are you ready to forsake everything and go and do what the Lord has caused you to do? My God, this is what I'm like. The commission to serve God.
Here in Romans chapter 1, verses 17, he says, the just, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he says, the just shall live by faith.
Come on now.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and yes. all unrighteousness of men mm. who hold the truth mm. of the in the unrighteousness.
Yes.
So we have to learn that word hold means that we have to learn how to suppress.
So come on now.
The enemy, the yes. thoughts, the negative thoughts that come, that he feeds our mind. Mm. And we have to recognize, because mm. we have the Holy Spirit in
yes,
one ear
yes.
and the devil in the other ear. And God is not going to tell you to do something wrong.
No, he won't.
He speaks in a still, soft voice. You yes. will know his voice.
Yes.
He said, my sheep will know my know voice.
My voice. Mm.
But we have to learn how to suppress mm. or to resist, mm. to rebel against the enemy when he comes to put these negative thoughts in our mind.
Yes.
Against righteousness, yes. against Christ, against yes. what we stand for.
Yes. And Pastor, I like what you said. The wrath of God has been revealed. So when you live righteous and holy, then that holds back the wrath of God for those that are do ungodly things. And you really don't want the wrath of God to come down upon you. And see, that's why I always ask the question, what you saved from? And most people say, I'm saved from this, I'm saved from that. But you're not saved from your sins. Your sins are forgiven. The Bible tells us that our sins are forgiven. But what you're really saved from, and like the Bible said, you just read it, we are saved from the wrath of God. So if you don't want the wrath of God upon you, then you must live a righteous life. And that will keep the wrath of God off of you. And in that living a righteous life, then you will sustain from the desires and from the temptations that Satan has laid before you. So now we got to understand why we live a righteous life. And when I first heard the program about Jesus, and I looked at the program that Satan had, and I didn't like the program that Satan had. I didn't like the end results that Satan was trying to put me in.
All right.
And I liked the end results where Jesus was trying to put me. He was trying to put me in a place of peace, happiness, and joy for the rest of my life. But Satan wanted to put me in a peace because he knew his future. He knew where he was going. So he said, well, I'm going to this place. I'm going to take many as I can. So I looked at the plan, and I didn't like the gnashing of teeth. Come on, somebody. I didn't like being in a place of a fire that could not be quenched by water. I didn't like the place of going where I've been in pain and tormented for the rest of my life. I just didn't like that. I really didn't like that what Satan was trying to lay upon me and try to get me to come his way. But when I looked at what Jesus had, and I looked at the pearly gates, come on, I walked down the golds, the streets of silver, and I began to see the sun and the flowers and the trees, and I didn't have to be worried about get one drop of water to cool my tongue.
Mm.
Come on. And you see, sometimes you need to weigh your options. And that's what I did. And I began to look at it. I said, I need to make my mind up. I need to be committed one way or another.
Mm.
So when I began to look at the plan, come on, somebody, when I began to understand that my heart needed to be changed. And what God is asking us is not hard at all.
My Lord Jesus. No, it's not. No, it's not. He said, here in Romans chapter 4, he said, therefore, it is of faith
mm.
that it might be by grace
yes.
to the end of the promise might be sure
mm.
to all the seed.
Come on now.
Not to that only which is of the law, but mm. to that also which is of the faith
mm.
of Abraham, who is the father mm. of us all.
Ooh, come on now. So what you're saying is that Satan, he can trick us, he can deceive us, he can lie to us just to get us to sign what he wants to sign. But God don't lie.
His agreement, yes.
His promise is always there?
It's there.
Oh, my God. He God ain't never told a lie. But I heard some people say, well, no, God ain't never lied. You're the one who lied.
His promise is sure.
You're the one who walked away from God. Yes. God ain't never walked away from us. But we the one who always walk away. We always turn our back against God. We always rebel against God. We always are disobedient against God. Whatever word that God has spoken, it always comes to pass. And everything God had promised us, and I watched, and everything God promised us in the ministry have came to pass. So I don't mind living a righteous life. I don't mind being committed. I don't mind being clean. I don't mind God sending me on the front line. Because I know if I go on the front line.
Oh, we going to stand.
I'm standing for righteousness. You got to stand for something. You got to stand for something.
Yes.
You cannot straddle the fence like some people try to do. You can't straddle. Either you're with God or you're going to be against him. There's no Miller in this warfare. Be with him. That's all I say. Let's live a righteous and holy life. Let's begin to turn our life around. Let's begin to give up those desires and give up those things that cause us not to want to serve God in the whole capacity. I'm talking to pastors from the pulpit to the back door. I'm not missing nobody.
I don't know about you know other people. I can't justify them, yes. But I can justify me,
yes.
Because I know that I'm on the winning side.
Always on the winning side.
I'm on the winning side. The victorious side.
I
like to fight,
yes.
For Christ.
Yes. I love a winner. I love to win. I'm always going to be on the winning side. Thank God that somebody told me the truth. And we are here today to tell somebody the truth.
And not only that, he pushed us out there. It's not that we came willingly. Some of us will come willingly. Some of us will come kicking and screaming.
Yes.
But I am so glad that he chose us.
Yes.
I can vouch for you, Apostle, yes. Because I know your life is
Amen.
Right.
I can vouch for you too.
So I thank God for choosing us to fight,
yes.
On the front line.
Yes. No matter how you get there, but just get there. If you got to scream, kick, roll, somebody got to drag you, but just get there. So we want to thank our underwriter, Robert Joseph of Red Med Pharmacy, and you can reach them at 772-333-2740. And they're located at 10163 U.S. Highway 1 in Port St. Lucie, Florida. And if we just want to thank you, call us at 772-777-4431. Go to our website, church5.com. Or send us an email at firstchurch12@gmail.com. And we just want to thank you for listening and praying. And we'll pray for you as you pray for us. And continue to lift us. And continue
glory.
To guide
Hallelujah,
us that we
Jesus.
Guide you and that God and God
thank you,
and
Father.
That God will bring you into a place where you need to be. Always, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for listening to the true word of God with Apostle Vernon and Betty Whitaker. I want to invite you to worship with us this Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We are located at 1689 Biltmore Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida. If you would like more information about our ministry or this program, you can call us at 561-718-2361. Join us next week at the same time for the true word of God.